Excellent work, Captain Tyler. You're a hero to the Force. With the Empress our prisoner, the battle is already won. Right, Admiral Mifune? Anyway, once we have your report, our forces will launch an all-out sneak attack on the Ralgon Empire. After all, the Empress is our ace in the hole. Whatever happens, we won't lose.
You're going to use her as a trump card?
An all-out sneak attack?
So, Captain, would you please present me to Her Highness?
Oh, she wanted to leave, so I sent her back home.
Japanese, a podcast where three dudes in their 40s talk about anime. He's sure of his timing. He's Andy.
If there's one thing I'm sure of, it's my timing.
You know, you have less than an hour.
My pullout game is great.
That's unnecessary, though.
But I like a good challenge.
He's sure of himself. He's Matt.
At exactly what point does it become not good to refer to yourself as a dude?
I think always.
He's a dude. She's a dude. We're all dudes.
Yeah, as spoken by the great philosopher Kel Mitchell. And I'm sure of my enemy. I'm Bill.
Wait, who's your enemy?
I'm not going to criminalize myself on the podcast.
You know, that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
What up?
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's going. Bill stole my shtick. It's going good. We're doing great today. And I'm definitely lying through my teeth. We're here for another episode of The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. No, we're here for another episode of 2D Japanese, where we review The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. It's episode 22. It's, I don't remember the title, so I'm going to call this episode, Tyler Wears a Hood and is Apathetic.
Force of One.
Thank you. Why can't you just ask one of us what the title is?
Because I thought I'd make it a game. It was a bad game. Hey, it's a mad episode this week.
Yay! All right, it's a me episode, so you know it's going to be droning and long-winded and...
Just like this episode, at least the first half.
Right. Says you.
Says me. I've got a lot of complaints with this episode, but we'll get there. Before we do, though, is there anything with nerd news this week?
I just went and saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire today.
Ooh. Oh, yeah? I've heard a lot of people say it's terrible. What do you say?
No, I wouldn't say it's terrible. I smiled. I laughed. They used practical effects. I'm happy. I'm not going to spoil anything at all. The only thing I noticed was, and this might contribute to the it's terrible reviews out there, it reminded me a lot of Ghostbusters 2, which for the second requel, I suppose, makes a lot of sense that it also makes reference to Ghostbusters 2, but it was good. It was not the worst Ghostbusters movie that's out. It was definitely in line with the one before it.
All right.
Nice. So you've not seen it, Matt?
I'm seeing it Monday with some people.
Oh, nice. Nice. I will not see it because I can't remember the last time I even watched a Ghostbusters movie, and I'm just going to continue that trend of not bothering to watch Ghostbusters because I've never been a fan of Ghostbusters.
You should do a marathon with the guys.
I should.
On Halloween, just all five
go.
Of them.
There we go. I got to finish Rocky as well. We just got through Rocky 4, so we still got Rocky 5, Rocky Balboa, and 3 Creed movies together.
Oh, you didn't watch the Stallone cut of Rocky 4, did you?
No, that's something I want to watch, though.
Okay, same.
I've never seen a Rocky movie.
Ah, you're missing out. You're missing out.
Even the listeners have their surprised face on right now.
If they're paying attention, they're not, because it's me. Oh.
Oh.
Ooh. I think Netflix is putting on the upcoming fight between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
I forgot that's a thing.
So I might be watching that if it's free.
I mean, if it's free on Netflix.
Yeah, sure.
We should have a watch party.
I mean, I don't care, but, like, I'd come watch it anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Come watch it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and maybe, I don't know what the discourse is around this at all. So I'm going to guess what I think is the unpopular opinion. I think that the Paul brothers are going to win.
I think one of two things is going to happen. He has height, age, and reach on Tyson.
That's my thought process too.
So he might dance around and, you know, play some chicken shit games and if not win, drag it out and do a long, boring dance. If he actually goes in there and mixes it up, Tyson's going to kill him.
Did you see the image of Jake Paul where he like painted on like the Tyson tattoo on his face?
No, I didn't.
I did see that. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
I hope he's dumb enough to go toe to toe and slug it out.
This sounds a lot like the actual plot to Rocky Balboa.
Actually, yes. There's definitely some Rocky Balboa plot to this for 100% sure. Which is fine. That just brings us back again to. It's more Rocky, which I'm
okay.
It's really weird that you're a big fan of Rocky. You don't care about boxing, and no. I've never seen Rocky, but I will watch boxing.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge, huge, huge fan, but I will watch it.
Together, we make one perfect whole.
If there's as much real drama in boxing as there is in a movie about boxing, I would like boxing.
That's fair. You ever watch the tough man competition, like the amateur tough man competitions?
Nope.
Where they have no idea what they're doing, and they just go in and swing away like maniacs? That's fun.
Yeah, that's the Rocky movies, just haymaker after haymaker, no subtlety. Yeah.
That's the amateur stuff. That's really fun.
Have you watched X-Men 97 episodes 1 and 2 yet?
Yes, I have.
I forgot it was out.
Oh, we can't talk about it. Okay, we'll talk about it a different time, but all I will say is, and without spoilers, I was kind of more optimistic than Bill was. I know Bill was a little down on one of our last discussions of it, looking at the trailer. 10 out of 10 blew me away.
Watching some of the recaps for my wife, seeing the old animation, I still prefer it, but I can see where it's old and clunky, and I needed to update it some. It doesn't bother me as much as I thought it would.
Good.
I also heard episode 2 described as, the gang stops January 6th.
Essentially, yes. We won't go any further than that, but essentially,
no,
yes.
No, that's...
they basically stop an insurrection. It's
I've enjoyed it so far. The plot-wise, acting-wise, it's been great.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And maybe Matt's problem with Wolverine, I think he'll not have as much of a problem when he hears, I think the lines pulled from for the previews were weird cuts of lines. And while I think that one line is a little off, the rest of his voice, while different, settles in, I think, to be pretty good.
Look,
I didn't find it very jarring. It was nowhere near as jarring as Gambit's crop top.
Oh, Gambit's crop top gave me a second sexual awakening. That's how amazing that was.
Again, the discourse of that show, I heard Gambit's not a little bit gay because he's wearing a crop top. I'm a little bit gay because Gambit's wearing a crop top.
I just have one question.
Yes.
I just have one question.
Please do.
How close is the actual animation to the original show animation?
It's fairly close for what it is. For the modern CGI'd version of animation, it's pretty close.
Okay,
They're doing some things with timing, you know, like frame rates and stuff that like kind of make it very similar. There's a really awesome fight scene in episode 1 that like blew everything out of the water from like the original series. I thought it was one of the most phenomenal, like, animated battles I've seen in some time. Like, it was really good. So, but it is very true, I think, in a lot of ways to the original animation.
Okay.
They definitely tried to recreate the original animation in the new medium.
Yeah. It's not 100% perfect, but I like it.
No.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me as much as I thought it would.
I'll catch it sometime soon.
Yes, definitely do. So we can do an episode of Loki Doki and talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. I got no nerd news to put forth myself, except that I'm really looking forward to some of the next season anime shows.
Which we can do a bonus episode at some point on, and we could do a Matt teaches Andy and Bill about upcoming anime, because we neither of us pay that much attention.
Right.
That would be actually a really good episode. Like, you could, like, what should we put on our radar? Like, maybe you pick, like, 3 anime for yourself, 3 for Bill, and 3 for me that you think would really fit. I would love to do that episode.
Yeah, that could work.
I'm not saying you have to, but think on that. That'd be a lot of fun.
Okay, will do. All right.
Awesome. All right, let's get started. It is time to talk about episode 22 of The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. Matt, with this episode, we only have 5 episodes, including this one. Craziness. We're almost at the end.
We are. Yep. Can you believe it?
I can't. How does...
Believe it? I made an anime. Believe it.
Believe it.
I made an anime.
Bill made an anime.
And yeah, and I'm sure you're at the point where you probably can't wait for it to be over.
I don't know about that. We'll see. Hey, Matt, take us through this episode, okay?
Take us through this episode. Okay, well, we begin this episode with the main UPSF fleet and a meeting on the bridge of the Soyokaze with Tyler, Yamamoto, Yuriko, Fuji, and Mifune. The brass, Fuji and Mifune, are ready to order an all-out attack on the Raugons. That is, until Tyler breaks the bad news. The Empress is gone!
Yeah, they're just like, hey, could you hand over the Empress now? We're ready. We'll use her as a bargaining chip. And everyone's like, no! And Tyler's like, well, we can't anyway. She wanted to go, so I let her go.
Yeah. They are not happy to hear that at all.
Nope.
In fact, Mifune does something that he's never done before. He pulls out his katana. Oh.
Never. Right. I've never seen that happen once.
Okay. Whew. I thought I might have missed something or forgotten something. All right. Well, you know, Tyler tells them that he think people should always act the way they think best because it helps reduce stress in your life.
Oh, Tyler. Tyler, you said...
How do you feel about that statement?
I can see where he gets it, but I wish it was reduce stress more. Doing what you think is right.
Poor Tyler. I don't know how he can't see ahead to what's about to happen. Like,
yep. Tyler says, do your best and let the rest take care of itself, which is an idea that we'll repeat throughout this episode from various people.
Correct.
We cut immediately to Tyler's court-martial. Uh-oh.
Whoops.
Oh, you poor, beautiful, simple fuck.
Tyler is stripped of his rank and removed from command. Oh, and sentenced to death by firing squad tomorrow at noon.
That escalated.
Quite.
Yeah. That kind of went all up to 11.
At least they didn't actually cover the trial, because I'm sure that would have been boring for you, Andy.
Thank God. This episode already drags on until like the last 5 minutes. So it's like, thank God. Thank God they skipped that. I agree, though.
Tyler keeps repeating, it's not fair.
Such apathy.
Yeah. It's almost a punchline cut, though, because they're like, he's like, do what you want. Do what you think is best. Everything will work out. And sentenced to death by firing squad.
The thing is, the brass, they are doing what they want, and it's still going to work out for everybody.
Only because he is who he is.
Right.
Well, and only because he rubbed off on the Empress in some ways.
Whoa.
Not rubbed one off on the Empress.
I thought that pregnancy was fake.
That was a fake baby.
Yes. So they put Tyler in a straitjacket type thing and they give him a hood.
Weird design.
A little bit. Yep.
Customary for the...
I bet it's really stuffy in there, by the way.
No doubt. Just him and his luck funk.
Ew. Gross.
Episode like title. Luck funk.
The brass call up the Soyokaze to deliver the good news. They're finally free of their incompetent captain. Oh, and Yamamoto will become the new captain. This idea makes him happy. Skeleton.
A lot more happy than I expected it to.
Yeah, right? But then he realizes that his rise to power means Tyler will be lowered 6 feet under. You like how I did that?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Juxtaposition.
No,
I'm proud of that.
Good.
I like it.
That's actually really good. Yeah.
They're going to whack him. They're going to off him.
So, Yuriko and the bridge crew, they're sad. Yuriko wants to do something, but Yamamoto doesn't think anything can be done. Yeah? No? Nothing to be done? Yamamoto? Huh?
What do you think about Yamamoto's sort of like being brought up to become the new captain and the way that he reacts in the scene? Now, obviously, spoiler to like 10 minutes from now when we get there, but like he's going to change his opinion, of course.
Yeah.
What do we think about Yamamoto at this moment?
I don't think he changes his opinion because he is conflicted that, yeah, I want to be captain and I am, but I don't like what that means. So I think his opinion might change his actions, change his decisions, I think his opinion of this sucks holds either way.
What do you think, Matt? Does that hold true?
I don't know about that. But I did expect better of him, if I'm being honest.
He kind of reverts a little bit to the character that we saw at the beginning for a little bit in this episode of, well, they told me I have to do this and I'm getting my reward that I finally want. So I have to do the thing. So like when everyone goes later to leave the ship and he's like, nope, I got to stay here. It's my job. Yeah. You know, it's set up for him to like eventually show up. But yeah.
But he's not happy about it no matter what.
He still believes in the brass. Like if he knew that the brass had been constantly trying to kill Tyler, he may have a different opinion. But yeah, well, I get it. I understand him, why he's doing that. He and Yuriko argue for a little bit. She wants to do something because it is unfair, but Yamamoto doesn't think anything can be done, and probably at this point maybe doesn't want anything to be done.
See, that's where I disagree. I think he wants to help. I just don't think he thinks he can.
Could go either way watching this scene. We cut to the Raugun flagship Melva, where Wang is pushing for an all-out attack at to the gathered.
yes, he is.
Yeah, pushing some Wang.
Keep pushing.
All-out attack on Wang.
If he retreats, there'll be a fart.
We see that same group of random Raugun people. No idea what their function is, really. Maybe every emperor or empress address needs a Greek chorus or something.
People for the animators to draw, essentially.
Yeah.
Filling out the crowd.
Yes. And they enthusiastically agree with Wang. They love Wang.
I wouldn't say enthusiastically. I feel like a lot of this episode is very, very downplayed. Like, yes, they agree with him. I wouldn't use the term enthusiastic for much of what happens in this episode.
Reluctant Wang lovers.
Yeah. Reluctant Wang lovers.
That's when you're not sure, but...
But you do what the Wang does.
Three people do not agree with this, however. They are Admiral Lonauer, our good friend Rue Barabadom, and Shia Haas, whom I forget what her rank is and whatnot. But they approach the dais, the throne.
Ex machina.
Lonauer wants to speak, and Wang objects, but Azaleen shuts him down. And Lonauer delivers some sound advice. Wars are won when you are sure of your enemy, sure of the timing, and sure of yourself. In other words, this is not the time to attack. Wang says that the Empress shouldn't listen to a fringe group like them. And he continues to rally the rest of the Raugons there with a cry of, "For Her Highness's sake!"
For Her Highness's sake!
I mean, I guess it kind of makes some sense to not listen to the people that constantly, I mean, two of the three at least constantly have been outsmarted by like one single ship of the enemy. So I guess there's that.
That could inform the decision. Yeah.
It'd be nice if they spelled out a little more.
Yeah, like had a little bit of dialogue there as to why. Like you couldn't even take down a single ship piloted by a moron or something, you know.
Of course,
like
you don't want to challenge him. You're scared of him.
I'm sure they all still think Tyler's a brilliant tactician or whatever.
You're in love with him.
Dominus, we know this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
you know that. Yeah.
We've established this. Yeah.
That's the one guy in the crowd just like, you don't want to fight him because you love him.
Yeah.
You love him.
Speaking of Dom, Azaleen would really like to get his advice. She mentally asks what she should do. Then we relieve the Raugons to see Tyler getting shot. But it's okay. It's just a dream Yuriko's having.
It's just a dream.
She's got 6 more hours.
6 more hours. It is 6 a.m. Yes, indeed. Cut to Harumi, who is scrolling through something on a computer, saying that she is looking for Tyler. You know, I love pausing computer screens in anime to see what's really there.
No, me too. What's on this one? I do it for certain things. Like when in one of the episodes, earlier episodes of Sailor Moon, when Amy is doing some computer programming, they print some stuff off and it's the RoboCop Creed. Yeah, like it's like the RoboCop Creed or something like that. Like it's like a bunch of like really like important lines for RoboCop.
Nice. What's on Harumi's screen is an interesting list. It's a list of movies and their film score composers, including Around the World in 80 Days from 1956. That's the top one. And the album is Modern Jazz Interpretations of Victor Young's Score by the Gerald Wiggins Trio.
That's my favorite trio.
which I did look up and listen to a little bit of. It's on YouTube. There's also Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Alan Silvestri, Big Top Pee Wee and Danny Elfman, and of course,
yes!
Ennio Morricone's chamber music.
I love it too. I think that's, I love when, and again, it's like, I think oftentimes it's like they don't really know what they're putting on there. Like they don't legit know. So like they just kind of like pull something from somewhere, and it's just, it's a fun little weird, I guess like an Easter egg for American viewers.
Yeah.
An unintentional Easter egg,
maybe.
Yes, it's an unintentional Easter egg. Yeah.
Yeah. We cut to Tyler, who is in the middle of a giant circular room being held in a birdcage. He has a hood on, so I assume he thinks it's night and he's asleep.
God damn it. I was going to make a joke, but yours was much better.
Uh-huh. Funny shit right there.
Cut to Azaline and Dom, where Azaline wants to stop the war. That because there's not much time, though, because once the Raugans reach the UPSF fleet, there'll be nothing to stop the war from happening. Dom advises her that she needs to say what's truly in her heart, and he tells her to do her best and let fate take care of the rest.
Just to drive it home, she repeats everything he says back to him as a question. Do what's in my heart? And I'm like, oh, if she says this last one back to him, I'm going to stop this episode. And thankfully she didn't. But like, it's just I hate that. It's so annoying. And then she goes and walks down the hallway and she's like saying it again in her head. And I'm like, okay, heavy handed much. Like, we get it. We get the idea. We get it. You're going to make the right decision. It's in your heart, which I have questions on at the end of this episode. We're going to come back. I'll put a pin in that. I want to come back to that at the very end.
Pinned. You got it.
Tuna salad for lunch?
She thanks him and says things become so clear when she speaks with him.
Yes, she does say that.
And she leaves to do what needs to be done. Back on the Soyokaze, Yuriko wishes Tyler was there to tell her what he would do. It is now 9:05 a.m. She suddenly remembers Tyler saying, do your best and let the rest take care of itself. And she stands up with a determined look, piquing Yamamoto's curiosity. Cut once again to Harumi, who has finally found Tyler. And we find ourselves at the break card?
The break card, you say? It's that dang break card. I am Andy, and thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Tuning Japanese. Apologies for this episode going up just a little bit later than usual. We are doing our best this month. We hit a few snags, but I hope you're enjoying the content, and we are getting really close to the end of the irresponsible Captain Tyler. Once again, this is just a reminder that you can support us at Patreon, patreon.com/tuningjapanese, and get bonus episodes, bonus swag. We are getting pretty close to revealing our season 10, 10 seasons. It's so wild to think every time I say that out loud, how strange that sounds. We've been doing this for a very long time. Remember, our tagline at one point was three dudes in their 30s, and now we're three dudes in our 40s. Talking about anime, so hey, let us know anytime what you think of the show, what you want to listen to, what you want us to talk about. If you have questions for the show, you can email those to us, tuningjapanese@gmail.com. You can follow us on our social media. We would love to interact with you here in the break card on our episodes. Just, you know, support us, and we look forward to chatting with you. It's a weird episode of Captain Tyler. They're all kind of weird, I guess, when you really think about it. But we're going to get back into this one. Hope you're all having a fantastic day, and we'll see you real soon. We're back from Le Break Card.
At least my jokes have become audio instead of, you know, visual jokes.
I appreciate that, Bill. It's like the time when you used to just, like, rattle the nut cage around.
Yes. That,
you just point to it and go, see? 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 And you're like, guys, no, they can't. They can't see, Bill. They can't. Anyway, that's a season one joke. That Matt doesn't know anything about.
Nope. I swear I am going to go back and listen to those episodes. Yeah, I swear.
I just
high five.
I like that we both high five. All right.
We're back from the break card, and Harumi is in the hangar readying the dropship when Yuriko, Kim, and Katori show up to say they're coming with her. Then the Marines show up. Then Kojiro and the twins show up. And then Lisa cried. And then I cried. And then Maggie laughed. She's such a little trooper.
I like this scene. I would have liked to seen them done it sooner. Like, given how much they've changed to love him, to take this long to be like, let's, you know what? Screw it. We're going to rally. No, they should have immediately been like, let's get him out right now. And again, it's a pacing issue for this episode. Like, it kind of drags on the first half. The second half is when things finally happen. There should have been more obstacles in the way of finding him. It should have been more, at least in my opinion, more energetic. I think we haven't talked about this, and I want to bring it up here real quick, and we don't have to talk about it forever, but
yeah.
One of the things that I think I've realized about the show that I think has influenced certain episodes and certain scenes of things I don't enjoy has been the background music that they have for some of this. I really dislike the background music in much of this episode. And I wonder, and if I went back to some of the other episodes, if it's the same background music that's been used in the past, there's no urgency to it. And it really, for me, and I know it's a minor thing, it drags down just the feel, especially the first half of this episode. I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on that or if it's just me, but it is something that I observed today. And I took a mental note because I wanted to mention it.
I don't have anything to say about it one way or the other, honestly. I haven't noticed.
Okay.
Like, are you thinking of, like, this scene in particular?
Just the stuff before, I think, especially, like a lot of, like, just the ambiance, background noise, like music, and even in this scene a little bit, too. Like, it's not as bombastic.
As one criticism I will have of this show, they're really proud of their Kenji Kawai sound score, so they kind of overuse it.
Okay. So I'm not necessarily alone on this.
No.
Okay.
I think the music in this particular scene is rather fitting.
Yeah, maybe it's the stuff before, because I know it was like the first half of the episode just felt like it drug on and on and on, and I think that the music contributed to some of that.
I mean, ultimately, this is one of those scenes I actually like, where it's everybody rallying around, big damn heroes. I can see where you say that, like, it should have happened sooner, or, you know, could have been the focus of the whole episode, even.
Yeah, absolutely. Ultimately, they don't do anything, and I know why, because they need it to be about the decision that the Empress makes, but they could have got themselves into more trouble leading up to it, or like defended more, pushed forward more leading up to it.
Right.
I just went back kind of perused through the first half, and I think the music in this one is does fit. It might be a different episode that you might be thinking of, Andy.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe we can try and have a musical discussion about the score for the show later. Sound good?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Everybody's come together, and Yuriko says that Tyler worked his way into all of their hearts. And they don't make meds for that.
I was going to say, that sounds painful.
Maybe ivermectin.
I hear that cures COVID.
Oh, neat.
Well, it does cure worms.
It's horse medicine, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
I don't think it's just horse medicine. That's what typically gets used for, but yes, I don't think it's just that.
Good for many aminals.
I think there are actually legitimate human uses for it, just not that.
Yes.
COVID is not a worm.
So the dropship takes off, and Yamamoto watches it from the bridge with the doctor. He will abide by the decision of high command, for it is his duty.
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 Duty! It is now 10 a.m. Cut to the firing range where Mifune says to Fuji, 2 more hours.
I understand, like, the idea of, like, having a specific time, drawing it out to, like, torture Tyler a little bit, but, like, also at the same time, If I were doing something like this, I absolutely would like do it an hour before I told everyone. So that way, if someone did hatch some sort of crazy escape plan, they would just find a dead body. And this is the kind of dictator I would be.
That's why you're the GM.
That's true.
Why you're a GM.
That's true.
Well, I didn't know we had a Watchmen character in our little group here.
I did. We have two Watchmen characters. It's just depending on which one's which. You're trapped on this podcast with me!
We cut to the Soyokaze crew led by Harumi. Then we cut back to the brass who knows they're coming, and Mifune orders Tyler to be brought to them. Cut to the Raugan, where Azaline has called for Wang.
We're a little past that.
That wasn't supposed to be a joke, but I thought I'd stop talking after I said it just now.
That's fair.
There's a lot of quick cuts.
Ow.
She commands Wang to recall their forces, but he makes a hypothetical supposition wherein a certain someone who wishes to take over the Empire could possibly use the recalling of their forces to cause dissent and eventually tear the Empire apart. Just hypothetically, of course.
Yeah, she's like, would that happen to be you? And he's like, no, I'm just stating a hypothetical.
Yeah, I'm helping.
You smarmy asshole.
I thought that too. This episode really made me hate Wang.
Which I guess is good. I know
he's a bad guy overall, but like, oh, he's such a smarmy little fuck.
And it's good. That's what they're supposed to do. Like,
there's nobody on the show vile enough to handle him the way he needs to be handled.
That's true.
I have to say, in my Battle of the Prime Ministers from fiction, I'd want to see him and Jafar have a little tête-à-tête.
I want to see him versus Saitama.
Also a good one.
Wait, Saitama's not a prime minister.
He could be if he chose to be. Mm-hmm. He'd be the mightiest prime minister.
He's the prime minister of justice.
That was probably someone who was in the Justice League or whatever they called their thing. The Hero Association.
Yep.
Yeah.
To illustrate his point, Wang shows Azaline a selection of clips of soldiers preparing for battle. There wasn't anything funny in that statement. Wang concludes with the very villainous statement, "The avalanche has already begun, and no one can stop it now."
That also sounds like a concluding Wang.
Is that the last one in a orgy chain?
Buckets or buckets of jism.
Fuck.
Cut back to the UPSF, and Tyler is no longer in his birdcage, and the Soyokaze crew don't know what to do. But suddenly, guess what? A voice tells them where the executions are usually held. And that voice belongs to...
Yamamoto!
Yamamoto's here! Oh, how did he get here so fast? Never mind. Don't question it. It's one of those time things. He actually left a while ago.
He does not look happy.
He left right after they did, but they didn't show it. That's how he got there so quick.
He got there sooner.
He took that left turn in Albuquerque.
And then Yamamoto admits that Tyler worked his way into his heart as well. This is turning into a pandemic.
Get that ivermectin.
Or don't.
Tyler's philosophy is already spreading through their forces and the enemy forces.
That's what he do.
It is.
That's Tyler.
Cut to the firing range where Tyler is being led to a stand, which I assume is meant to catch his body when it falls from being shot to death. And the crew races to save him.
They do. But will they get there on time?
Probably.
We cut to the Raugans. We cut to the Soyokaze crew. We cut to the brass. We cut to the crew. We cut to the Raugans. We cut to Azaline. Azaline announces an attack. Lonar and Dom are concerned. The Melva warps. Cut to the Soyokaze crew entering the firing range. I didn't need to do that whole thing that fast. I don't know what's going on here now.
Whoa, my head is spinning, Matt. My head is spinning.
Sorry, I accidentally put Matt on double speed. I've been doing it on my podcast, not him.
Can we slow back to one moment, though?
Yes.
Can we go back to Azaline for a second?
Yes.
So Azaline, when faced with this unruly group and her few really loyal friends, decides that she is going to launch an attack.
Yep.
And the question that I have is she doing this because she knows in her heart of hearts it's going to lead to something, a good result that she wants? Or is she giving in and just giving up? Because I'm actually, I know this is going to sound weird, Matt, but I'm disagreeing with you. when it comes to the show.
No.
I think she's pulling kind of a Tyler here, where like she's going to give in, but she knows that by doing so, she's got some sort of other plan, maybe.
The fuck you say?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I think she decided after everything that Wang said that she just can't take the chance.
I mean, that's how I read it, but.
I guess we'll find out later.
But, you know, just because she's not actively thinking that something will happen later doesn't mean it's going to happen, you know.
So. That's what I always say.
That's what I always say. I says to Mabel.
End of the episode finale. The firing squad raised the fire. Mifune smirks. Fuji smirks. And the Rakan fleet is detected. The Rakan fleet is an estimated 20,000 ships.
That's a lot of ships.
That is a lot of ships. 20,000 ships under the league. No, I don't know.
They said there were going to be some ships.
That's a lot of fish.
Whoa,
and ships.
There's so many.
Fuji and Mifune panic. Fuji wants to know who will take responsibility. Huh.
Gee, I wonder who's going to step up and take responsibility.
Gee, well, you know, it's Tyler.
So stupid.
What's everyone getting so excited about? If the Rakans are coming, leave this to me.
So dumb. So
ain't
dumb.
No reason to get excited. Take about 20% off the top there.
I gotta channel the non-acting method of that guy from that movie.
What's everyone getting like, so excited oh, yes. about? What's everyone getting so excited about? If the Rakans are coming, leave this to me.
No, that's too much energy.
You're tearing my heart out, Lisa.
You know what? Forget about it. Tyler requests command of all their forces.
Okay, I have so many problems with this.
It's not stupid if it works.
Fair enough.
Like, you can just shoot and kill him still, and then move on to then command, turn the ships around to face against the Ralgons. Mm. Because any logical person who hates Tyler as much would have done that.
Well,
I don't think these dudes are logical, for one.
Well, they sort of are. They sort of are here because Fuji and Mifune debate about what Tyler might know that could actually help them. Even Fuji admits that Tyler and the Surikaze have had more successes against the Ralgon fleet than anyone else.
He's hilariously decided to kill himself like four times.
No, that was Mifune. Other guy.
I don't know which one's which.
They're the same.
Short guy, Mifune, tall guy. That helps a lot, I'm sure.
Sort of, not sort of.
Yeah, well, anyway, Tyler has spent a lot of time there, so I can see how they might think. Maybe he knows a secret. Maybe he knows where the exhaust port is to blow up that Death Star.
Yeah, I guess.
But we cut to the Melva breaching through Wall Sena. I mean, through the inner defense line. Sorry, had a little Attack on Titan stuck in there.
You couldn't see him?
Oh!
Word life!
See?
Basic thugonomics.
Hey, folks. I'm making an Attack on Titan reference, and they're talking about wrestling. Who'd have thunk, right?
Yeah, that...
Adam will get the reference.
I'm pretty sure that hand sign that he used to do is a hate sign now.
It is a hate sign now. That's why he doesn't do it anymore.
Oh, that's...
Also, he's not a rapper.
Why are we letting bad people decide that for us?
We are not going to get this episode over in any kind of quick time if we start doing that. Conversation.
Let's just leave that at where it's at for now.
Well, Fuji returns Tyler's command and gives him special authority to save their butts. Tyler takes his hood off, and everybody's happy. And with the Surikaze leading the way, the UPSF fleet approaches the Ralgon fleet. End up. Can we talk about it now?
Yeah, sure. This is the part of the episode where we talk about our overall thoughts on the episode.
Oh, not Matt, that.
No, we're not getting into that. Hey, Matt, it is your turn for to go first. What are your thoughts on this episode overall?
I agree with your points earlier, Andy. I don't really know why the Surikaze crew is waiting so long. You'd think the decision would be easier by this point.
Especially after they've built up so much goodwill toward Tyler in the last couple of episodes.
Then things happened and they kind of reverted again. I think it's going to take, till the end of the series, honestly, for them to really fully come around.
To be fair. The military did try to kill all of them once already on Tyler's behalf. So, I mean, I can see where it's like, oh, yeah, if we do this, we're probably going to die.
But won't they sacrifice themselves for Tyler? I feel like they absolutely would sacrifice themselves for Tyler at this point.
Yeah, but you got to at least think about it for a few minutes.
You know, out of the only ones who wouldn't have to think about it at all, I think, is the twins.
This isn't a lover or a child or, like, you got to be like...
Half of them wanted to be his lover.
Still.
Briefly. Like, very briefly.
Homeboy over here has already screwed up and almost killed us once. I like him, but do I want to go save him and get killed again? I don't think I think about that for a while.
Sure. Good points.
I don't think it was their hesitancy that's the problem so much as the episode's hesitancy. Again, I think it's a pacing issue.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think we could have had some angst and stuff.
It's another episode that seems made so that you watch the one following it immediately after. Even though I know that was never the idea because it was a week-to-week show.
I think there's definite pacing issues yet again in this episode, as we've alluded to a second ago. I think that the first half is dull. It's confusing as to why they don't act a little bit more. They could have built the exact same drama with the enthusiasm instead. It doesn't go over as well, I feel like. The second half was better. I like the fact that they had the big, like, let's all help him save him moment again. I think that deciding to give literally everything over to Tyler is the dumbest decision that, like, that they could possibly, like, logistically, like realistically make as an army. Setting him up to, like, lead, like, the vanguard or something, but to give him control of everything, like, no, that's not realistic. It doesn't fit with anything that we've seen so far. And maybe that's just Tyler's dumb luck again. I don't know, but...
Yeah, you feel at most he would be taken on an advisory position.
Sure. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, yes. Go ahead and take the entire control of all the power, even after you let the princess go. So we definitely know that you're on our side. Right? Like, they'd be questioning that. They'd be questioning, like, who... He's going to turn them all around and just, like, surrender immediately, like, potentially, like, for all they know.
That's true. They would be doing that if this were a reality-based show.
The key in life is to figure out who the protagonist is and then become indispensable to them.
I thought it was me.
I was pretty sure it was Andy.
I'm the protagonist?
Sure.
I love that. Thank you. Oh,
I'm the one who's going to die to, like, drive you forward, so.
Well, you're the most professional of us.
I don't know about that. Bill, thoughts on the episode?
I mean, I don't want to be Krillin, but...
Aww. I love Krillin, though.
Yes, but I don't want to be him.
You get to bang Android 18 or 17 or 16, whichever 18. One it is. I don't remember.
I mean, okay. 18? You know what? Never mind. You've turned me around.
No, you turned her around. Anyway, Bill, tell us what you thought of the episode.
Yeah, it hit all the points I like with the big damn hero thing again. We should all, like, get together and help him out. But yes, I think, reiterating what you said, it was paced weird. Written a little better, being a little tighter, it would have probably been a very impactful episode. As it was fine. It was a pretty straightforward Tyler episode.
Set up for the four episodes to come. That is where we're heading next time, is to see what happens after all this.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait for this next one.
But that's next time. That is episode 23, The Longest Day in Space, and we are back to me again. I feel like I just recorded an episode last week.
Weird.
It is weird. We are barreling our way through to the end. We'll be back with that. Thank you to you both for a fantastic episode yet again.
Thank you. That's what I appreciate about you.
Oh, that's what you appreciate about me?
Give your balls a tug!
You don't have to tell me twice. Bill, take us out of here.
This has been Tuning Japanese, a podcast where three dudes in their 40s talk about anime. And I'm sure of my enemy. I'm Bill.
Well, yeah, well, I'm sure of my timing. I'm Andy.
I am sure of myself. I'm Matt.
Wow. double speed again. And we will see you next time.
Kisses before an execution?
Three guys that talk about anime are cranks about things.
Thanks for listening to Tuning Japanese. For more information on our show, visit tuningjapanese.com, where you can find links to our past 8 seasons of the show, bonus episodes, and articles. You can also contact us on social media. Visit facebook.com/tuningjapanese for updates, tweet at us at tuningjapanese, and email us your feedback and comments at tuningjapanese@gmail.com. Please consider supporting our show by leaving a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to today's episode. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, or any other number of podcatchers. You can also go to patreon.com/tuningjapanese and support the show monetarily. There you can find bonus episodes and our special audio series, Tuning In, where we provide first impressions on a number of popular anime series. Special thanks to our Patreon supporters, Ryan Nash and Matthew Van Diver.
Any longer,
and we have nowhere left to run either.
And how do you expect us to fight them, Admiral Mifune? Tell me your plan, Admiral. So you don't have a plan? Then tell me who you expect to take responsibility for all of this.
Well then, let's hear your brilliant ideas.
No, you go first, Admiral.
No, you go first.
No, Admiral, I insist you go first.
What's everybody getting so excited about?
Captain.
If the Ralgon are coming, then leave this to me. Give me command of all our forces and we will not lose. Justy Wiki Tyler, age 20, swears this here and now.